night and welcome to another episode of 25 MTS. I'm the host, Jay Mason. I'm here with the usual cast and characters, and we also have a special guest this week. We'll go ahead and start with, we have Matt, Team Sexcopter.
Hey.
We have Greg, not as bad as you.
Hey, what's going on?
We have Kyle, but he is sleeping, but Kyle, say something to the people before you go to sleep.
Oh, he's in the other room right now.
Okay, so he's probably, like, beating up some squirrels or something like that. We have Root. Root, say what's up.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And our special guest for the week is Boy Boy. Boy Boy, say hi to the people.
Yo, what's up?
Cool beans. All right, so we're going to jump right into it. So, no, we haven't been around for a moment. There have been two champions that have recently came out. There is Shyvana. It's Shyvana, right? Shyvana? Is that how it's about,
Shyvana,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, Shyvana. Okay, so there's Shyvana and there's been Graves. Shyvana was the most recent champion. Let's go ahead and start with that. So has anyone, first off, well, let's go into her abilities. So, before we go into her abilities, well, let's go into exactly what she is. So Shyvana's a dragon character. She seems a little bit like Nidalee in the fact that she has, like, kind of two sets of skills. Basically, the character gains rage from her auto attack, and then can use the rage, but the rage doesn't dissipate, right?
Well, actually, I've been talking with my friend Ted, and he's been playing her, and more accurately, Shyvana kind of fills the same role in a team as a Rumble would, just on an AD way. She just does AoE damage, and her ultimate doesn't give her new abilities, it just makes all of her abilities area of effect.
Okay, so it just makes her abilities, like, does it make them actually hit harder as well, or does it...
No, area of effect.
Just area of effect.
Okay. All of the abilities, yes. All
right, cool. Well, let's go over her abilities real quick. Hold a second. Let me go ahead and... Well, actually, Boy Boy, have you had a chance to play Shyvana?
Yeah, I gave her a run, like, 3 games, I think, yesterday. She was pretty fun. It's a little early to say how viable she would be for competitive play, but I'm trying to find a place on a team for her. Like, if you put her in the jungle, her early ganks up until 6 aren't that strong. But she can farm it well, like, because of her W and all that. But if you put her top, she's, like, she, when, late game, alright, let's just be clear, late game Shyvana is an absolute, like, beast. Mm-hmm. Like, if she gets items and she gets a bunch of attack speed and life still going, she has, like, some of the highest DPS in the game. But it's getting there, that's a little bit tricky that I'm not sure, so sure about you right now, because you have to put her on, somewhere on a team. So, right now I'm thinking top's probably the best place for her, which is, like, what I would be playing, so I still have to do some more tests. But, compared to, like, some other top laners, like Aurelia, Rumble, like, even Renekton or something, she doesn't really have, like, sustain or CC, which is something that you look for in a top lane. But, I mean, she seems like she can hold the lane pretty well and get her farm and be an asset to the team, so I think she's pretty good, but we'll have to see how it goes.
Cool. Let me go ahead and go over her abilities real quick. For those people who have not had a chance to play Shyvana, so her first ability, her Q, her Twin Bite, she strikes twice on her next attack, both auto-attack trigger on-hit effect, and a Fury of Dragonborn effects. And in Dragon form, it's like bursts in a cone. That's the one that bursts in a cone, right?
Can you imagine a double strike on-hit effect in a cone in front of her? Like, you can apply a lot of stuff. But the real asset of that ability is the fact that it resets the auto-attack.
Mm-hmm.
So you go hit, double strike, hit. It's 4 in a row. It's basically a Warwick ult if you have a Mitret. Which is kind of funny.
Cool. Her next ability, Burnout, she deals magic damage per second to nearby enemies, and her movement speed is greatly increased for 3 seconds. Her movement speed bonus is reduced over time, and in dragon form, it scorches the earth around her. So that's the first skill I think you get to jungle with her, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her big jungling ability. It's pretty sweet, too. I think it's faster than Ghost at higher levels, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that you can, like, use it over, and I've seen people just use it just to get around and, like, lane and so forth, which seems really interesting. Her third ability, Fire Breath, she unleashes a fireball that deals magic damage and melts target's armor for 4 seconds, and in dragon form, it engulfs all units in a cone in front of her. And her ultimate, Dragon's Descent, so she transforms to a dragon, takes flight to a target location, enemies along her nearby path take magic damage and are knocked towards her target location. Oh, and she has a passive. It reinforces her scales, increasing her armor, magic resist, defensive bonus, and it all those double in dragon form. So, Void, are you saying that you think that she might be strong top? I've seen some people play her top. I've seen some people play her
jungle.
In the jungle and so forth. So, not as bad as you. Have you had any chances to actually play against this character, and do you think that she falls into the... People automatically assume when a character comes out, they're OP. They just scream OP, 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 OP. What has been your experience so far going against her?
She doesn't seem really overpowered. Like, the damage isn't surprising at very early levels. The first, sort of like, I logged on that first day and did some, like, solo queuing, and of course, like, when the enemy team picks her, you know, they, like, destroy my top lane because my top lane has no idea what this champion does. And when my top lane picks her, you know, she just feeds aggressively because, again, they don't know what this character does. But the more I see of her, the less impressed I am. It's kind of cool, though. One time I got ganked when I was in bot lane, and I didn't realize she was 6 already. And so I was like, oh, I'm gonna get ganked by, you know, Shyvana. And then, like, a fucking dragon ate me, and I died. So that's been, like, my favorite part about her is, like, when she turned, like, I've seen, like, her ganks just come over bushes and walls, and it's terrifying. So, she seems kind of underwhelming to be honest.
The most excited I've ever been in a game was having a Shyvana on my team basically tackle one of the enemy players up over Baron Wall and just remove them from their whole team and eat them alive. It's kind of hilarious.
Nice. Rude, have you had a chance to play with Shyvana or against Shyvana?
She was on my team once, but I wasn't really paying attention. Generally, for new characters, I'll just run away for, like, the first couple weeks until someone tells me how to beat them, pretty much. But I'd like to know what her cooldowns are like, and if Sheen is a good item on her.
Trinity Force is really good, because half her abilities scale off AP and half off AD, and she likes on-hit effects.
Attack speed's pretty core.
Attack speed is core, which Trinity Force has.
Well, yeah. Boy, quick question. What is your current build on her?
I was going Riggles early and top for the sustain, but if you get an early advantage, you don't really need it, because she does so much damage. I think Wit's End is pretty core. It's, like, a fantastic item. I was messing around with, like, Atmogs and, like, Frozen Mallet, because not having CC is kind of, it hurts her, but, like, if you tack on a Frozen Mallet or, like, a red buff, she just trains people in fights. So I was thinking, like, a Wit's End, maybe, like, a Triforce, and then, like, I think Stark's Fervor is actually really good on her, and I picked it up, and I was pretty much unkillable mid-game. So after you get those...
Stark's Fervor, isn't that, like, one of the worst items in the game?
I mean...
No, dude, no.
It's a Sonora item, and people don't buy it enough, but if, like, your team can benefit from all the stats it gives, lifesteal, attack speed, reduced armor on the enemy chance, and it's actually really cost efficient.
Yeah, I saw Cypher, their Taric, whenever they were picking Taric in the last IM, they were always picking up Starks, and they had Anasus too, so one of the themes is like Taric Shatter, Starks debuff, Spirit Fire debuff, and like all of a sudden everyone lost works. Like 100 armor.
Good. Crazy.
Yeah. I played a assist Mundo, not a support, because it doesn't heal, and I built Starks with a Tristana in my lane, and we just won the game.
Yeah, if you're wondering how to beat Shyvana, it's almost universal. Just kite her. Kiting her beats her.
Yeah, she seems melee range.
She doesn't have hard CC. She has to be melee range. She has one distance closer, and it's her ultimate. She's not auto-attacking. She just gets way less scary.
If she has no bar... And you're ranged, you just win.
If her bar isn't full and you're ranged, yeah, it's pretty much a blowout.
Wow.
And I mean, she seems like a really interesting character flavor-wise. Like, who doesn't want to play a dragon? Who doesn't want to, you know, as Greg say, fucking eat someone out of nowhere? Like, I think for... Someone brought up an interesting point before. I was talking to someone at the store, and they were saying that this character is kind of made for the casual player. Where it's a character that looks flashy, puts out a decent amount of damage, looks scary, and has cool skins with it. So, like, it might be there where it's like, oh, well, let's get more casual players involved.
I feel like the dragon is just a really easy place to go with. As a character design, I just don't find her, like, that interesting compared to other characters that are a lot more original, like a Moo Moo or Skarner, which are, like, you know, more hilarious thematically, but at the same time, her ultimate is just hilarious, because the whole transforming,
giant dragon.
Flying across as a giant dragon and just dragging everyone with you in this big line of ultimate doom. It's like, it didn't even do that much damage. It's just the spectacle of it is really nice.
Jamal, what do you think about her? You like her?
Well, I've played her. I haven't had a chance to actually play her because every time I tried to actually play her, someone like just snap locks her in. And my only experience is with her, I had to solo against her, but I was playing Yorick and I just shat on her. But other than that, my other experience was I was jungling Fiddlesticks, and she made my ganks incredibly easy. Like, she helped me out in my jungle, just, like, caught on her little whirlwind thing, got all my mains really, really low. I was able to, like, take my blue extremely fast, gank extremely fast, and then, just like Matt was saying, she's easy to kite. She doesn't have hard CC. So when I would come to a lane to gank and I would just fair, she would do all the work. Like, I literally didn't have to do anything, and it was pretty dope. She kind of carried the team. So I want to play the character. She's probably not my style because she is not a caster.
She's not my style. I don't play aggro, so.
But, because you're scared to death of life, Matt. That's why.
Life is terrifying. I will go punish mode every day.
But she does seem like a really interesting character. So let's end out talking about her. So we'll go down the line with OP or not OP. So Greg, OP or not OP?
I'm going to say not OP.
All right. Root, OP or not OP?
It's hard to say. The one I saw was really scary, so I'm just kind of afraid right now, and I need a little bit of time.
Matt, OP or not OP?
I judge most melee characters on the Lee Sin scale, and she's not better than Lee Sin, so not OP.
Okay. Boy, OP or not OP?
I think it's actually, like, super early to tell. Like, if you look at some past champions, like, Graves on release, Vayne on release, massively overpowered, and it was obvious to everyone because they're just so easy to play and there's not, like, any... There's no, like, technicalities in them where, like, they might be strong, but people haven't discovered it yet. Like, Irelia, when she came out, if you just looked at, like, how many times she was nerfed over and over, she was probably one of the most OP champs in the game. But people didn't realize it at first. Like, she was trashed on for, like, a few months, so...
She was the sick tech. Everyone called her Irelia Vint.
Yeah, she was, like, not played at all until, like, a few... Like, I started playing her, Atlanta started playing her, she became really popular. And I think Shyvana has the potential. Like, she has, like, a strong kit. Like, any champ that when you get a lot of farm on them, they become beasts. Like, that champion has potential to be viable. So, I mean, I think we'll wait and see, but I think that she's, like, a sleeper OP, maybe, right now.
Okay.
I'll give it that.
I think, I actually played against Atlanta, and that all happened to me when Irelia was really overpowered. He was like 13-2 or something. He lost the game. We came back somehow, but that was the first time I was ever afraid of her. And I guess we need like somebody to play her at a high level and just not get killed all the time, and then we'll see.
The one thing that I agree about her is her kit is entirely based on sustain, and characters whose kits are based on sustain are more of a stealth OP. Like, she never stops going. She doesn't cost mana. She, you know, pretty much with items, I can see this character just never, ever stop being max damage, just going through a team over and over again.
But saying that she looks easy to play and for casuals, is her skill ceiling really low? Do you guys think?
I don't... Well, Greg, what do you think?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't think her skill ceiling is low. I just think that she's for casuals because of how flashy. Like, think Riven. Riven is extremely flashy. She jumps around the map and swings her sword and bounces from place to place and dashes and all these really cool-looking moves. So, like, people who are like, oh, well, that character's cool. I'm going to play that character. But, for instance, like, a Misfortune, like, her moves aren't as cool-looking. Caitlyn's moves aren't as cool-looking, but Caitlyn's moves are extremely effective.
It's just, like, Ezreal.
I think
like...
MF's moves look cool.
MF's cool. MF has a million skins.
But yeah. This actually, I don't want to spend too long on her. I want to actually move on to the next champion. So the other champion that I wanted to go over was Graves. So let's give, for people who haven't had a chance to play Graves, Graves basically, he has some beef with TF, and he's another guy with a gun. Graves' abilities are as follows. He has Buckshot, which fires 3 bullets in a cone, damaging all enemies in their path. He has Smokescreen, which shoots out a fire canister at the target area, creating a cloud of smoke. Enemies inside the smoke cloud have reduced sight and range. So think Nocturne's ultimate if you are stepping in one area.
Yeah, it actually gives the Nocturne ultimate debuff sign when you step into it. So it's like the exact same mechanic.
Okay. There's quick draw, which he dashes forward, gaining attack speed boost for several seconds. Hitting enemies with basic attacks lowers the cooldown of the skill. And his ultimate is collateral damage. He fires an explosive shell, dealing heavy damage to the first champion it hits. After hitting a champion or reaching the end of the range, the shell explodes, damaging it in a cold. And his passive is Gunslinger. Grave gains increased armor and magic resist the longer he remains in combat. So the first
What's the name of it?
They changed it to Gunslinger. That's the first thing.
No,
it used to be True Grit, but they changed it to Gunslinger.
It used to be True Grit.
So let's go down the line.
Copyright infringement, possibly?
Possibly. So I know everyone has had a chance to actually play this character and play against this character. We'll go ahead and start with Matt. Matt, what's your impressions of Graves?
Graves is really, really, really strong. This character has a Q that is like three spells. It's just like better than MF's, better than Ashe's, better than Caitlyn's. It does a lot of damage. His E is like so good for a carry because it goes in and out. It just outdoes a lot of other carry dashes. His ult is huge burst and instantaneous. And his smokescreen's like a cool move. I find this character really hard to gank. I find this character really frustrating to deal damage to at low levels with his just free armor and magic resist runes basically on his passive. And it just hits really hard.
Okay, Root, what about you? What's been your experience playing Graves and playing against Graves?
Oh, well, the first game I played him, I did really bad, because I didn't know his range. The second time I played him, I went like 7-0 or something early, and I just thought he was really overpowered. But I don't like that they put, give ranged ADs all these damage spells. I think it's like, what are they? Are they trying to like break the game by doing all this, releasing champions like this? I don't really agree with the champion design, but he's strong.
Yeah, he's a burst caster and a right clicker. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Hey, Greg. So, what about you? What's your thoughts on the Graves?
The first like three times I played him in ranked, I didn't die. I don't do that with any champion. I do not afraid. So I kind of picked up early on that he was really overpowered. Like, Q level 1, I was playing with a Sona, and someone face-checked me and Sona, and they got one shot of level 1. And yeah, it's the problem of, like, too much burst, and the sustain damage is really good, because the E steroid is huge, attack speed buff, and also the True Grit passive, which I will always call it True Grit. Cause
Gunslinger!
Like, yeah, like, too much grit, and, Gunslinger. Yeah, he's just really overpowered. It's interesting though. I as far as OP champions go, he doesn't bother me as much as a lot of them have, but he's still pretty ridiculous. Like Q's just better than every other like nuke on every other AD champion. I don't understand it.
Would you say? Well, I'll go back to you about that. Boy, what's your thoughts on Graves?
I mean, I said before like, Riot keeps releasing these, like, AD champs that have, like, this, like, the skill sets of, like, casters, which, like, is pretty ridiculous, because, like, AD champs get their damage from, like, being able to auto-attack. Like, if you, just to make, like, a stark comparison, if you compare, like, Teemo and Graves, like, Teemo auto-attacks for most of his damage, and then Graves can auto and do all these, like, crazy nukes and get, like, 90% attack speed in a dash, like, that's, I think it's pretty ridiculous. Like he's still pretty overpowered right now, and I don't know what Riot's doing with their champion design, but it's pretty silly.
Okay, now question: do you think? And I actually wanted to get a question from Greg too. So you were saying that his Q is the better Q than any. Well, one of the better abilities on auto attackers. Would you say he's even better than Caitlyn's Q? Because Caitlyn's Q does clear. It can clear a wave at certain points as well, and it does go further. If I'm not mistaken,
Caitlyn's Q has a delay. And it does less damage as it passes through units. Graves' Q does not have a delay, and it doesn't do less damage as it passes through units. And it also hits harder if you hit with multiple pieces of it.
If you ever net into someone and land a Piltover, like, that play is not the easiest play to make on Caitlyn, but it's the expected play to be made on Graves. The Q is too much damage. That's the issue with it. Like, it does. I don't think the damage is reduced No, the damage is reduced based on the number of targets it hits, correct?
No, and not passing through. It's the number of times it hits a target. So the initial bullets do, at level 5, 240 plus a 0.8 attack damage modifier.
Yeah, it's just
and
stupid.
30% damage for the second and third bullet. So at point-blank range, you're hitting for 60% of the initial hit plus the initial hit. So it's like really, really strong.
Well, so one thing I want to, and the thing I want to bring up with Boy Boy. So Boy Boy, you said that you don't understand what Riot's doing, having these auto attack characters having almost caster like moves. Do you think that maybe they're, because what I'm thinking with casters, the reason I just enjoy playing casters because I feel like you're more active because you're pushing more buttons. So maybe they, you know, it's like they want their players to feel involved in the character. They want their players to feel like, oh, I'm doing all these things because I'm pushing more buttons. Do you think it could be something as simple as that?
I mean, that's one thing. Like, there's some ADs that are, you can play them as APs, like Ezreal, Corki, I love playing them. They're really fun and both Tristana. Still really good. Yeah, Tristana. My main concern is just that, like, the numbers pretty much, like, on Graves. Like, I don't know whose idea it was to give him, like, a 90% attack speed modifier on a dash with, like, you can have, like, a 70% uptime with that, and when you compare it to Tristana's, which is just, like, a simple attack, like, I don't know, they're outclassing their already existing champions for reasons.
It's an 80% hit level 5 compared to Tristana's 90, but it's still ridiculous.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, also, his ult scales off of 80.
His ult
and
his Q
just does not.
Yep.
Compare that to, like, her rocket jump doesn't scale off AD, and her ult doesn't either.
But if his rocket jump scales off of AP, then how will we have AP Triss?
I'm saying that, like, all his moves scale off AD, and he has the same range as Ms. Fortune, right? He has a steroid, which is, like, a part of being an AD champ, but he also has two scale off AD bursts, and essentially two escapes.
Yeah, so his W is, like, the most underrated ability on him, I feel. That ability is insane.
He can get in and out of combat, auto-attack a ton. He's tankier than a lot of guys because of his passive.
Yep.
And he has double nukes, like, two. Like, imagine just hitting, you know, SmartCast Q ult straight into someone's face. The amount of damage is just literally absurd.
Yeah, and if you're 1v1ing, like, another ranged AD, and you put a smoke cloud on them, they can't attack you. Like, they actually can't cook on you, and so they just die.
Okay, well, question, Root, what's been your... So, would you say you have had the similar experience with playing Wint? Well, actually, have you ever played Graves? Do you play Graves?
Yeah, well, I bought him... I heard about Shyvana, and I bought him not thinking. I was like, he just really sounds overpowered, so I bought him just to kill people the first... Like, they, seems really strong. I think having, like, a free dash is really kind of iffy, on ranged AD, and also he has a slowing mechanism that makes them lose vision. It's, like, he can do all this damage and get out. Like, it seems like a lot of his core will be, like, guerrilla warfare, just rushing in there, doing some damage, and then just getting out, blasting everything. Especially when you're about to leave the lane to go buy or something. Yeah, he seems okay, like, pretty strong. I think he can survive in a lot of lanes. I don't know what beats him flat out yet.
Okay, so we're going to go down the line real quick. So we'll go ahead and start off with Matt. Graves OP or not OP?
Graves is OP. I mean, his nerf... when I saw the nerf they put for him in this last patch, I was actually surprised that it was so little. Like, they took 5% off his minimized Q damage and 1/4 of his passive at max level. I mean, they need to deal with how much attack speed Crit Drop gives, and they need to deal with, you know, other parts of the character.
Okay. Root, Graves, OP, or not OP?
OP.
Greg, Graves, OP, or not OP?
OP.
Boy, Graves, OP, or not OP?
He's really strong, I guess, OP.
All right, so let's do a follow-up question in regards to that, and then we can move on to the next subject. If there was a way to fix Graves, if there was one thing to fix Graves, or something that they could do to just fix that character, what would be that thing? Let's actually go ahead and start off with Boy. What do you think is something that if Riot was like, okay, look, we have to fix this character, the community is complaining too much, we just have to do something, we have to do something now, what would that one thing be? Or actually, what would that, let's say two things be? Two to three. One, two, or three.
I mean, yeah, like, you have to understand that, like, he's like, really strong compared to, like, the other, like, ADs at the moment, but, like, they're, like, Kog'Maw, Vayne, those guys are still, like, super strong, so, like, you can't be too heavy-handed with the nerfs. I like, honestly, I don't really have, like, any tangible things I could throw out right now, but maybe just lower the numbers on some of his stuff to bring him down in line with the other champs, I guess. That seems like a logical decision.
What about Root? Root, do you have any opinion in regards to how they could fix Graves?
Well, I feel that his curve, which, you know, a lot of champions, most of them have a curve in the game where they're their strongest and then they'll teeter off certain points in the game. I don't know where his is. I can't pin it down. He seems pretty strong like throughout the entire game.
So you're saying if there was a certain point in time where he would peter off in his damage, say something like a Pantheon, it would be less hard to deal with?
No, he's saying as a carry at level 1, he's too strong. Like, carries aren't supposed to be strong at level 1.
Yeah, definitely. What Riot's messing up with these characters is not giving them curves. Like, if you look at all the old champions, like Zilean, for example, he's strong early game, but he really falls off. Like, they're making all these characters that don't fall off, I guess, to possibly have more bans in competitive play.
That's an idea. That could actually be something. But Greg, what about you? If they were to change one thing in regards to Graves to kind of make him more balanced or to kind of fix him a little bit, what do you think it would be?
They have to. I feel that what they're going to do is they're going to reduce the damage on Q again, kind of just the base damage on it. Maybe the base damage on his ult, too. Like, I still really like him. I feel like he's unique to the other carries. It doesn't feel like... He does feel like a different carry. He doesn't feel, like, identical to Vayne. He doesn't feel identical to Tristana or Caitlyn or Ezreal. He doesn't feel like any of them. So I just think, again, like, the two big nukes need to be scaled down a little bit. But I like him as a champion. I think he's, like, sweet design. And this might be the type of champion where, like, in a little while, maybe he's not... You know, I'm not going to look back in Graves and be like, oh my god, that reminds me of MF. Like, he's not that bad. One of the things that I had an issue with banning him at first was all the, like, other ranged carries can get fed and be just as powerful as him. So he's not too, like Boy was saying, he's not too ahead of the curve of the other champions. And he probably doesn't fall off to, like, the 50-minute mark when someone like Tristana or Ashe gets, like, full item builds.
The thing with me in regards to, like, Graves is, like, okay, I've played with him and I've played against him, and I don't necessarily feel he's super OP, but I'm, like, also playing at a lower bracket. So, like, most people who are playing Graves with me don't really know how to play Graves. The thing that I worry about in regards to nerfs is, how do they nerf him or make him, quote-unquote, fair without having him go the role of Misfortune? Because Misfortune was, like, the AD carry that everyone played for a moment, and then these other AD carries started coming out, and they nerfed her and nerfed her and nerfed her and nerfed her, and now you barely see Misfortune's out there.
Yeah, but she's strong. Like, Misfortune is really strong. I think everyone's just kind of really gravitating to the newer carries, but I've seen people do fine with it with Misfortune as well. Like, maybe her damage is a little bit far behind, and, like, they need to do a little work on her, but she's fine.
Okay. And we're going to end up with Matt. Well, actually, Matt, did you mention how you think she could be fixed? He did, actually. All right, so we're going to go into the next section real quick. I want to do a quick little getting-to-know-you section about Boy. So, Boy, okay, so you are on Team Digitas, correct?
Dignitas, yeah.
Dignitas,
a.k.a. Rock Solid. So, let's start from the beginning. What drew you to the game League of Legends outside of, say, other MOBAs or various other games that could be competitive?
All right, so I'm just going to be honest. I was just browsing the internet one day, and I just saw, like, this person. He's like, I'm quitting. I used to play this game. It was like an Exxon game called Mabinogi. It kind of sucked. But I saw this guy. He's like, hey, I just joined this game called League of Legends. It's like Dota. It's a lot of fun. And I was like, oh, I should download this. I'm kind of bored. So I just did that. And then I started playing. And the reason I kept playing is just because I had a lot of fun. And I enjoyed myself. And then, like, I ended up, like, getting to level 30, having all these champions. And then I just, like, when Season 1 started, I just, like, got high elo somehow. I started streaming, and then some of my, like, friends that I knew from there, they just invited me to join this it wasn't even called Rock Solid then. It was just a team for, like, the Newegg Winter Ran Fest, which is, like, a small-time $2,000 tournament. And we joined that, and we, like, we ended up doing really well. We got third. And that just encouraged me to, like, become competitive and, like, just, like, take this game seriously and get good at it. So, yeah.
Okay, so you feel like that festival or that event was the time when you knew, like, hey, you know what? I can actually do something with this game. I can move forward with this game. I can play this game at a competitive level and actually maybe make a living out of it?
The moment I realized when I can actually make a living off this game is when I looked at a stream revenue for, like, 3 days of streaming. I'm like, wow, that's pretty ridiculous.
Do you mind if we ask, what is the stream revenue for, say, 3 days of streaming?
Jamal, let's just put it this way, dude. Reggie and Dan are banking. Let's just leave it at that. Like, this professional business, bro. Let's not give away the trade secrets.
That's fair. Fair enough. Okay, so you said it wasn't originally called Rock Solid. When did Rock Solid form, and who were the original members?
Alright, well, we formed, like I said, for the Newegg Winter Ran Fest. It was like, I think it's coming up to a year now. I think we've been together for a year. The original members were me, Skara, Narrett, Rambo, Sam the Ham, and our Aragi was on the team, but he only played like one game and we kind of dropped him. But yeah, those were like the original core members. And then after that, like, Narrett's from Argentina, so he can't really play for us in anything. So we picked up, like, right now. Okay, sorry. Yeah, those are the core. You can ask follow-up questions if you want.
Okay, no, go ahead and continue. What were you about to say?
Yeah. So right now, as most of you might know, we have Jat, who jungles for us. I'm a Cutie Pie, who's our AD. Locust, who's like a really old player. He was pretty well known. He plays support for us. And me and Scar, we're the solo lanes. So the original, like, the only two original members from when we started are me and Scar.
So Rambo is no longer on the team. Did he decide to move on to a different team, or?
No, we just ended up, like, switching the roles around, and he's not one of the core, but we're still, like, really good friends with him. Like, he came to IPL, he came to IAM New York, and we all chilled, so, yeah.
Okay. So let's see, what was the other thing? So that's kind of your introduction. So, quick thing. Before you played League of Legends, were there any other games that you played competitively or played on a more often basis?
Nope.
So this is your first video game that you ever played?
Seriously, yeah. Like, I was like a kid. I had like a GameCube and like Nintendo 64 and PS, like PlayStation. But like, I didn't really like play like in the eSport or whatever.
So you never played any Dota or anything?
No.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I have the same experience with League of Legends. I became a gamer after I played League of Legends, and I played hundreds of like video games on the console and PC. I really became a gamer, and at every other game that I play now, I take that into that game, like strategy games, just win.
Yep.
If there was one thing that you could tell beginning players or people who have aspirations of being high ELO players, what would that one thing be?
All right, so something I see that like a lot of people do when they play this game is they play games and they lose or they win and they don't really understand why this happened. They just play their champion and like they try to kill stuff. But really, like, you're never really going to improve or get better at this game unless you take every situation into account. Like, if you lost the game, be like, why did we lose? Don't just like try to scapegoat the blame onto like another player, like, oh, he fed. Like, look at what you yourself could have improved and try to like play the best that you can do and just like learn from like the high ELO streams, the guides, try to get better through that at like your specific role that you want to hone in on. And like one thing just like specifically to touch on like raising your ELO and stuff, get good at like a few champions. Like, yeah, I would recommend like playing some like the strongest laners or like the ganking junglers and stuff like that, but also like try to lead your team in like when you communicate, like people like don't really know what they're doing in solo queue. They're just like running around smacking their heads against the wall. But if you set like objectives, like, well, your team just be like, okay, we guys, we should try to focus on this. Let's go Baron now. Just like be that voice. It does significantly raise your win percentage. Like, just having that direction for your team is actually really important. And yeah, I would recommend trying to do that.
That term is carrying with words, right?
Yeah.
And that's
and,
what he
and
was
don't
talking
rage.
About. Yeah, that's why Elo Police exists, because jerks and ragers in rank, like, the thing that I think high Elo players feel is if there's someone on their team that's, like, being a jerk and they don't deserve to win because they just messed up, they'll straight throw the game because they're not going to learn anything if, like, these pro guys are, like, telling them they're doing something wrong, because all they feel is, I won, so all my moves were correct. I didn't make any mistakes. But, yeah, like Moibu was saying, you have to look at every situation and find something to improve on. It's easiest to start on the thing you hate the most, right? That's probably the... You'll improve the most, I think. Yeah. Find something you hate about your gameplay and improve it.
Okay, now, another question... Or another thing, actually, because you have people... Do you believe in ELO Hell? Because that's been an ongoing debate since this game has pretty much existed. Do you think there is an ELO Hell? Do you think ELO Hell is more what players make of it? Or what players have put themselves in certain situations that they can't get out of?
I mean, what's your definition of ELO Hell?
Well, it's the place that I'm currently living. But beyond that, ELO Hell is that the people that you play with, the caliber of people that you play with, are so hard to carry. They have so little idea of how the game is played that it becomes almost impossible for you as a player who may not be the best player but is better than the people that you're playing with to progress and move higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you look at like the top ELO players, you'll see that most of the people from Season 1 are now at the top again Season 2. Like, I was number 1 Season 1. I'm on the front page now. Same case for a lot of people. Like, if you're at the very top percentage, you'll have no problem carrying your way through, like, thousands of accounts. Like, I've got some accounts to high elo. It's not hard. Like, just winning games seems, like, pretty elementary for, like, players of this caliber. But then, like, I think, like, when you look, like, lower down the ladder, there's, like, a bigger, like, pool of variance that exists. Like, if you're like 1500 ELO and you're trying to get to like 2K ELO, maybe you're not like quite as good to carry yourself there, but your ELO is going to vary like maybe like 200 or 300 points just because like you don't have a big enough impact on the game to where you can like, you're not good enough at the game to where you can like rightfully carry. So like it's more based on like what like the luck kind of plays out. So I think like to some extent there isn't like an ELO hell, but I think like if somebody really wants to get out of there, it's possible just by trying to improve their game.
Okay. So, let's go a couple things about high ELO. So, when you're playing, when you load up and stuff like that, is there any player who you prefer to have? Is there any player that you see on your team that you're like, oh, I'm so glad that this person is on my team? Or the opposite, that why is this person on my team? I think we're probably going to lose this game.
I like playing solo queue with my teammates. Like, we don't duo queue, but, like, if we end up on the same team, it's kind of fun because we, like, troll each other or just mess around, and we usually still win, so that's, like, always enjoyable. Like, specific players, I don't know, like, there's some trolls. I don't care to recall them right now, but there's some trolls who are never fun to play with. On the other team, I don't like seeing I'm a cutie pie because he's so good at the game, and I get scared.
Okay, well, in regards to that, so you get kind of worried about playing against your own teammates. Is there anyone who gets your competitive juices flowing more than others? Like, oh, I'm playing against X player. I really want to win this game. I really want to beat him in lane. I really want to dominate him. Or I really want to, like, kind of just not take his heart out and show it to him. But you really want to make sure that you show him that you're the better player.
Not really. No. I just do my best whenever, and sometimes I mess around, but, yeah.
You already were one, right? You don't have much to prove at this point. I think if you're one, I think is probably what you feel, right? but other than that, isn't it every other LoL player, including the people on your team? Like, if you're playing competitively, that's the level you're going to take it, right?
Yeah, I guess to a point, yeah.
I don't know. I kind of call bullshit on that one. Like, everyone has that person that they like to beat. Like, if I'm playing against, like, say, for instance, like, if I'm playing against Matt randomly, like, I want to beat Matt.
I
want to destroy him.
I
want to
beat Reginald. I'll throw that name out there.
Anybody in the top 20 so they don't take your spot, right?
Is there kind of a rivalry? Like, you know, you're really known for being a top lane solo laner. Yeah. Like, watching you play in the tournaments, your, like, last few games, I was following the stream. There's a lot of Renekton top lane with you. Is it, like, is there sort of a thing between you and the other, like, known solo top laners, like European teams and stuff like that, where you just kind of know these people and have seen them in a tournament or two? And it's kind of like, you study them?
Yeah, no. I don't study people, but, like, all the top laners who are on, like, the top teams, I'm just, like, really good friends with them, and, like, we get along. Like, it's not like a rivalry, we just, I think...
You just most free of us, farm like, top, right?
Each other, and... I mean, yeah, I don't know. I get along with all of them.
Did you think there's merit to the statement that you were the best Renekton in the world for Season 1?
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So modest.
Because I've been telling people that.
I mean, like, I don't know,
You were top of the list, Season 1, Renekton. Renekton's your main, right?
No, I play a lot of champions. Like, there's probably, like, most people have, like, maybe four or five. I would say that for top lane, I'm most comfortable with maybe, like, I'll say, like, seven or eight champions who I would just be just as willing to whip out as Renekton. So I just like playing Renekton because nobody else plays him, and I think he's strong, and he's fun to play, so, yeah.
You have a 90% win ratio on Akali right now. I'm just looking at this.
Yeah, it used to be 97. I kind of messed that up.
Okay, one thing.
Yeah, I remember watching one of the IEM interviews, like post game. It was the game without where you couldn't make it, and Vicious was talking IPL. About how at IPL how like you're an encyclopedia of champions, like you just play every solo top champion. And I guess one of my questions for like a well known like solo top player, like how often do you try to incorporate like a new champion into your repertoire? What do you think is more important right now with picks and bans? Is it better to have last pick or first ban or first pick? I don't know. Is it more essential to have the last pick? Because it feels like those are like the counter picks really come into play when you have that last pick.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll answer that question first. So last pick is like really it does a lot of things for the team when you have last pick. Like you can pick an underused solo, because people reserve last pick for their solos, because solo lanes are the easiest to get countered, and the easiest to be, like, gimmicky with. Like, for example, if we ever run Katarina, we always last pick her, just because it's so easy to get, like, a bunch of CC, just, like, in one champion even, like, Blitzcrank. Like, if we didn't last pick Katarina, it'd just be setting us up for a world of pain. And if we wanted to run, like Jax or something, he's not really strong in the laning phase, but he's like a beast throughout the game. So if you last pick like something like that, and you already know what their top lane is going to be, and you know that Jax can hold against that, that's also really powerful. But having like first pick is also good, because there's like, I wouldn't say at the moment there's any like really champions that like, oh, you gotta ban them, or you can't let the other team have them, because there's like a lot of strong champs at the moment. But I've been seeing the merits of having the first two picks and having last pick over having first pick, and I think some other teams have been seeing that too, so they're both good.
Second part of that question was how big of an emphasis is it from your team or whoever's mm-hmm. like sponsoring just to be competitive to get more champions into your repertoire?
If I don't know if you guys watched the last WCG thing, but like, no one's been playing Rumble for a bit, and I picked up Rumble in between in a few days, I picked up Rumble, and I used him there, and he worked out really well. Like, the thing about picking up new champs is, like, you can have, like, a core, like, five or something that you just rely on, and you're never going to be banned out, but having, like, a bunch of champion variety, which I think is one of my strongest assets that I bring to the top lane, which is, like, why I feel some... Like, I can deal with any top laner just because I can play, like, any champ that does well against theirs. Like, just having the options available allows you to counterpick lane, which is just so powerful in picks and bans, and just gives, like, your team momentum going into the game.
What would be your priority to counterpick top, mid, bottom, or jungler? Like, who would you counterpick first?
I mean, that's a pretty open question. I don't know. It depends on, like...
Depends what they pick?
Yeah, if you're worried about, like, a snowbally champ, like a Collie Katarina, you might want to focus on that. But honestly, just focusing on making your team comp good is really powerful. But, like, if they pick, like, a Kassadin or something, you can counterpick that easily, which is why I've been playing Kassadin less and less, is because, like, you can just pick up, like, Talon, Wukong or something, Gangplank, and shut them down in lane, which is... It's not going to lead to, like, 100% win necessarily, but having one of their solos jump like that is pretty powerful.
Oh, so you have to be the guy to ask. How do you beat a Collie in lane?
There's some champions that can beat a Collie. I mean, a Collie's good, but if she doesn't get kills, she's not gonna snowball as hard. I think Renekton definitely can kill her in lane. Ryze can do well. I think Rumble can do pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of, like, Pantheon, there's a lot of champions that can do well. I don't know, you just have to outplay the Collie pretty much, because her toolkit is strong, and you have to overcome that.
Quick question. So, talking about the race for first, so near the middle of the season, it kind of seemed like they had a lot of CLG members who were at the top of the list to be first. And
you're talking about solo queue?
Yeah, solo queue. Talking about solo queue for season one. Actually, I should clarify that. Thank you. So, solo queue for season one, there were a lot of CLG members who were at the top of the list and who were rotating back and forth. Hotshot GG had the spot for a while, and then you kind of crept up there. And I know near the very end, almost down to the wire, it was between you, Hotshot GG, and a few others. Was there a conscience race for first? Like, I want to be the number one person in solo queue at the end of season one. Did it kind of just happen? Or was it like, oh man, I just really want to beat him. I just really want to beat him. Like, exactly what was the motivation behind that?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it wasn't Hotshot. Hotshot was only about, I think, he was on the second page, but me and Gigi had been going at it for a long time for number one. Like, I think up, like, 2 months before the end, we were both, like, kind of ahead of the curve, like, by maybe, like, 50 ELO, and we would just always, like, get back and forth, and, like, he'd get ahead of me one day, or I'll fall behind or something. And then, like, when the season was winding down, like, we didn't really know exactly when, so we both of us kind of stopped playing for a bit. But then in the last, like, 2 days, we both, like, spam solo queue kind of. I think I got to, like, 25-50, which is, like, a nice plateau, and I just stopped playing. And Gigi, he couldn't catch up, so I just sat there, and I ended up being number one somehow. So, yeah, that's what happened.
Did you ever see Gigi or talk to him online? He was like, in your face! In your face!
I mean, it was all fun, like, when we were trying to do it, but, like, we're good friends, like, we're cool. It wasn't like, oh, man, I got number one, I'm so much better than this guy. It was just like, oh, I ended up being number one. I guess no one's going to remember because that page is hard to access.
It's really special to say you're the only person on the ladder better than Big Fat GG. Like, that's, like, just a crazy thing to realize, like, at the end.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the season one was so long. I mean, a lot of people are going to remember who was at the top of the ladder.
Like, yeah, it was pretty long.
But you know what's really funny? I talked to a lot of my friends, you know, being at my ELO and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were saying that, like, GG was still at the top. And I was like, no, guys, it was Boy Boy. I live by him. He's from, like, where I'm from. Like,
yeah.
Correcting them.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know because, like, I don't know, it wasn't ever announced, like, hey, boy, number one. It was just kind of like, oh, that's how it ended up being.
Did they give you any special thing for being number one?
No,
not at all.
I it would have been amazing if they gave, like, the top five or whatever, like, some special prizes, but it didn't end up.
They should at least put a crown on your little box or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, and talking about, what Matt said, being from the area, so... What is in the water in the Bay Area where we have so many strong players? Because just to throw it out there, like, Reginald, Bay Area, Dandan, Bay Area, Boy Boy, Bay Area, J-Mazing, Bay Area. I mean, just throwing out those names.
Just those.
Jamal, you're not from the Bay Area. You're from the East Coast.
Okay, I'm from the East Coast, but I live here.
Now that you say it like that, they all sound kind of bad.
I agree.
What would you say, is there anything in particular about the Bay Area where there's actually a competitive scene in Northern California, or is it just happenstance?
Nah, I just think it's a coincidence. I mean, there's a lot of good players from LA, like, I think three or two of the members of CLG from LA. I just think, like, there's good players all around. Like, there's good players that are still aren't on teams right now, but they're probably, like, from, like, I don't know, Montana.
Good players.
Yeah, everywhere.
They have a lot of money and poor supervision. That's how you get to number one.
Oh, man, fair enough. So, okay, a couple of things to kind of wrap it up, because I don't want to just keep... Well, yeah, this is interesting on Kids Stage, but a couple of things real quick that I definitely wanted to hit on before we end the conversation in regards to just, like, your moving up into the solo queue and becoming on teams and so forth. In regards to teams and in regards to just competition out there and so forth, it was highly sought after that, you know, the stronger teams, the strong teams out there were, you know, CLG, and then Epic Gamer kind of came near the end having a really strong team. There was Team Solo Mid. Rock Solid is starting to be named. Well, sorry, Digitest is being a named team and so forth. Do you see any
talking
teams?
About season one?
Yeah, I'm talking about, yeah, talking about right. Season one. But yeah. Now in season two, are there any up-and-coming teams that are kind of like, you know, to be on the lookout? So Millennium, is there any kind of like, and the Euro teams are like really nuts too. Like they definitely came up out of the blue. Kind of near WCG and so forth. But for season two, are there any up-and-coming teams that you're kind of like looking at them and being like, wow, that's a really strong team. We kind of need to pay attention to what they're doing. Is there any teams that, not necessarily that you're scared of, but that you're kind of keeping your eye on? Like, say, I know there's Cursed is a new team that's coming out there now. There's V8. And I don't know Local Doku's team, what their name is, but they're like a bunch of Korean
MIG.
Players.
Yeah, MIG. In Korea. The thing I'm most worried about is the players from, like, the Asian countries, because they have a bunch of time, and they're at, like, gaming houses and stuff, and they're just going to grind through and get really good at the game, and that's what a lot of them are known for in other games. As far as, like, the NA and EU scene goes, the only team in EU I'm really worried about, or, like, not worried, just, like I see as, like, a big challenge is Fnatic right now. They've came off really strong in IM. SK is really strong too. They're having some problems though, so until they deal with that, like Wicked left. Until they deal with that, they're not gonna be playing. But as far as NA teams go, I'm not really worried about, like, CLG is pretty strong, TSM has been in a bit of a slump. EG's always been strong. They're still like the team I like. We don't play them often, but when we do, they give us like the hardest time out of like any teams. Just, I don't know what it is about them, but yeah, it's usually pretty close.
Oh, so, like, TSM has their gaming house, right? Or, I mean, at least that's what it looks like. Is there any intention for Dignitas to put something together like that, or do you know of any other teams that are looking into that?
Some other teams might be doing it, but as far as I know, in NA, it's pretty much a TSM thing. And I don't know how much it's helping them. We'll see how they do at MLG Province qualifier this weekend. But it seems like I think it's like a really good way to get together and just like make sure you're focusing on League of Legends, because like it's a serious time commitment. And just having like them all together like forces them to do that, which is good. I mean, if they're not making the best of that time, it's not going to do anything. So we'll just see how they deal with it.
Okay. One thing I'm curious is to know your opinion about other players really quick. So, outside of people who are on your team, because I have a feeling that you're going to name people on your team, but outside of people on your team and outside of yourself, who do you feel are the best right now currently in the game? Top laner, AD carry, AP carry, and jungler.
Support players don't matter.
Oh, and support.
Off my team?
Outside
not
of your team.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah, not on your team.
Best top laner, I would say... do you want me to say, like, two people or something?
Two's good. Three's right. Good. One's good.
All right.
One's best.
I think best top laner besides myself would... I'll say Hotshot. He's been doing well. He picked it up. Also, I think Darius. Like, at MLG, Darius, I wasn't afraid of him at all. But he's actually gotten a lot better since then, and he gave me quite... He put up quite a fight in the... WCG matches, and he's a really nice guy. I really like playing against him and talking to him. We're good friends, so I'd say Hotshot and Darius for top. AP carries, I'll have to say... God, it's pretty hard. One sec. Okay, I'll say AD. Did you ask AD as well?
Yes, all the major roles.
Okay, AD, I'll say I think that Chowx and Chaucer are pretty... Well, Gigi's actually, I'll say Chow X, and I'll give a shout out to my boy Cop, who I think's actually really good, and he's on UNR right now. He's like, no one's seen him play, but I think he's actually a really solid player, and we'll see if they manage to qualify for MLG Providence. I think they might, because only four teams are going to be able to, and I think that they're actually really strong, and I think they might be knocking out one of the commonly known four teams. Jax and Cop for AD. Jungler, I'll say Saint Vicious, and I'll say Saint Vicious and the odd one. And then for AP carry, God, that's pretty hard. Who are some of the AP carries? Want to remind me? It's
so like Reggie, Chowster, Big Fat, whatever they're doing Sals-y. There. Ocelot.
Yeah, Sals, okay.
Sals, yeah, holy fuck.
Yeah.
What about the European guys? What's there? Don't they have a really good European guy who's supposed to be a really good AP carry?
Ocelot.
Yeah, there's really... I don't know. I think they're all good. I just don't have enough experience to talk about them, so I'm just going to say, like, NA. I think NA, best AP carries besides Skara would be Sals and Chowster. I think Chowster plays a really, really mean, and his technique's really, really good. So I think Sals and Chowster. And that's pretty much it. Do you want to know support, too? Because I got support for you.
Yeah, go over support, because Matt says support is important.
Yeah, it is.
So undervalued.
Best support, who doesn't play support? I'd say I'm a cutie pie who plays AD for us, but I think he's probably the best support in the world. And Nat, I don't know how to say his last name, but it's it's a Viet name, but...
Nguyen.
Nguyen? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, Nat. He's really good, too.
Okay. So, yeah. Now, Root, you said you had a question that you wanted to ask him really quick?
Yeah, so, you know, like, musical bands, like, say, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers, sometimes they had to make a new album, they would lock themselves in a mansion for, like, 3 months, and then they come out with a new album, and now we're starting to have gaming houses like Solomid and Korean houses.
Yep.
Is that something you would consider as a team? Do you think it's going to get to the point where to really be that competitive, you guys have to really know each other that intimately? And training that hard, because now that TSM has, you know, thrown down the gavel, do you think that's going to make a huge difference?
Yeah, well, as far as I can tell at the moment, it hasn't made a huge, like, impact on their play, but I think that just might be due to them not using the time as effectively as possible, or limitations on, like, the player side, but I think that as League of Legends becomes, like, a more competitive esport, and, like, it's already gaining a lot of traction, like, I think it has one of the highest growth rates of any game. So when Season 2 starts up and there's like a $5 million prize pool and stuff, I'm not going to rule it out. I just don't think it's something that we're considering at the moment. Because like we all have like priorities, like we have school and stuff that we're... Like League of Legends still comes second to that, so yeah.
Okay, and talking about you know, having school and so forth and priorities, so... The situation where you weren't allowed to play in the major tournament, do you want to go into detail about that, or is that just something better?
Oh, yeah, that was something simple. It was just the IPL, where, like, a bunch of NA teams were invited, including my team, who managed to win first using a sub. Lo Cicero, he played really well. The only reason I couldn't go was because of some dumb New Jersey law that, like, I don't know the specifics, but... The tournament was held in a casino, so you had to be over 18 to participate due to some, like, regulation or something, and that's the only reason I couldn't go. I don't know why they held it there. Like, I know StarCraft was the main event, and none of them are underage, so I guess they didn't really consider League of Legends, but I think, like, 5 players were underage on the major teams, so that was kind of a big hit. But yeah, that's it.
Okay. Matt, was there anything that you wanted to ask, or Greg or Root? Because I have a final rounding off question, personally.
No, I'm good.
Do you play any other? Do you play like StarCraft, or any other RTS like that? Not like Dota or MOBA.
Nope, not at the moment. I don't have time. I just have to focus on staying good at League, and yeah, I like StarCraft. I would if I had enough time, but I don't have it. I don't have it at the moment.
I have a question that I want to know if you'll be able to verify. I played against you like 2 months ago as Singed top lane, and you were Urgot, and I killed you twice, and my team still lost, but I like killed you and took your tower, and I didn't say anything. Do you remember that?
I think so. I remember every time I play Urgot, I beat horribly, so yeah, I remember that game.
That was, like, when that happened, I was like, fuck yes, Boy Boy's cool as shit, and I feel great. So, like, having, like, positive impact on other players, just
being problem.
Able to compete against you and stuff. Thanks, man.
Okay. So, two things. Last question I wanted to ask you, and this is a very important question. Cake or pie?
I'll have to go with cake.
Hell yeah, cake all the way.
Cake, not close.
But pie has apple in it.
You can have
apple in cake.
And last but not least, if there was any last encouraging words that you want to say to players out there, or if there was anything that you wanted people to in particular know about Boy Boy, what would it be?
I mean, I assume a lot of people watch this show, so I just want to clear one thing up about, like, this. I know it's not really the place to get into this, but, I mean, I never lied to any WCG admin or whatever Reginald's been saying. I just asked a clarifying question about the rules, and it ended up not being in their favor, which I feel kind of bummed out about, but it wasn't really my fault. It was WCG. I know we haven't, like, talked about this at all during the show, but a lot of people have that false impression, so...
No, let's talk about that.
No, absolutely. Let's talk.
We weren't sure if you wanted to bring it up or not, probably.
Yeah.
We were talking about it a little bit before the show, but we don't really have a clear understanding about exactly what happened, so we didn't feel that we'd be able to talk right about it. But in your point of view, what went down, and what was the what were the things that they thought were controversial, and what actually happened, and how did this go down?
All right, so basically what happened was we were in the winner's bracket for WM. We beat them 2-1 in the set, and they got knocked to losers for WCG finals, and they beat Curse to come to winner's bracket versus loser's bracket finals. And on the WCG USA site, there was posted rules that said that there would be a one-game advantage to the winner's bracket team, and we both played according to these rules, and we agreed to it and all that. And then we played them, and we got 2-0'd, and we thought we lost, and we, like, wished them good luck. We were fine with that. Like, they beat us in that set, and, like, we thought we were done. And then this player from the Canadian finals, he was on JPOC and Friends, and he emailed the WCG Canada admin regarding the rules, before they played their finals, and he got a response back after that the intended rules were supposed to be best of three sets instead of best of one. And so he never brought this up to CLG after, because, like, they thought it was done. But he told me, like, why did you guys only play one set? Like, I thought the WCG rules were supposed to be three. And I was like, on the site it said only one. And then he's like, yeah, but the admin told me it was supposed to be three. So I was like, I guess WCG and USA and Canada have different rules. But so then, just like, this was like a, this was an inconsistency, right? So I just emailed the WCG admin who had been giving us all the info this whole tournament, who'd never mentioned, like, the series format. And I just said, is the finals, grand finals, supposed to be best of three sets or best of one? Because we only played one game so far. And he's like, the grand finals are intended to be a best of three sets, so you guys still have games to play. And I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty shocking. And when I told the teams this, like, I told my team, I told their team, it pretty much just caused a shitstorm that was just, like, it was like a mountain out of a molehill. Like, if I was in their position, I'd be mad too, but I wouldn't have blown it up to this level, because it's not really our team's fault at all for what happened. And, I mean, I blame WCG too. Like, I thought it was kind of dumb decision of theirs to enforce that rule, even though the posted rule was supposed to be one game, and I didn't really agree with that. But when you're a competitive team and you're trying to do your best, like, we weren't going to be like, oh, you guys you guys meant to use this set of rules. We're going to forfeit because we still had a chance, so we're going to take that, obviously. And, I mean, some people might not agree with that, but we definitely didn't, like, have an influence on, like, their decision or whatever. And me being the kind of guy I am, like, had we won a game against CDE in the second set, like, I still would have sent that email because the guy probably would have been, the Canadian player would have still told me, hey, why didn't you guys play three sets versus the one you played? And I would have been like, I think there's different rules, and I would have sent the same email and got the same response that you guys still have games to play. So it's pretty silly of all this that has been going around because of some, like, emotional players on the other end.
Was it an automatic instinctive thing to know the thing to do would be to email an admin and get a clarification answer and their final decision? It was like an automatic thing? Or did you discuss it?
No. Okay, so I believe in transparency, and, like, I just, like, even before emailing the admin, I told Chaucer, like, I immediately messaged him, like, hey, somebody's telling me that the rules are supposed to be three sets. Like, I'm just letting you know that I'm just gonna send an email to the admin and ask, like, what the actual rules are, and this is probably gonna come out to nothing. But this is just a heads up. And we talked about it for a bit, and they convinced me that the admin, like, that there's no way that's the truth. But I sent the email, and then when I got the response and told them, they pretty much, like, not like Chaucer specifically, but like some of their players, like Reginald, he went ballistic. He just started, like, lying about, like, what we did. Like, he made, like, five vlogs and, like, a bunch of blog posts about how, like, went under the table and, like, convinced the WCG admin to, like, change the rule set for us, which is just not true at all. Like, he was like, I'd be mad, too, in his position, but I wouldn't have just, like, fabricated these, like, events just to, like, because, like, to find, like, something to blame. Like, I blame WCG, too. He should blame WCG. Like, people who are mad should blame WCG. If you're mad that I asked a clarifying question, you can be mad at me, too. But I didn't lie. I didn't, like, do any... Like, any player in this position would have done the same thing. Like, Hotshot said he would. Anyone who I've asked, anyone who's been asked, has been like, yeah, it's within our right to ask this kind of a question. It's not, like, it's not shady or anything. And I can tell if Reginald says he wouldn't have asked, he's lying, because he's done some things in the past that have been far from saint-like, and I know he would have done at least that.
Yeah, and I like the point you bring up. You know, you guys put a lot of time into this, and, like, Dignitas, like, you guys are, like, trying to put your name out there and trying to get to somewhere like WCG. I could see, like, if this tournament really didn't mean anything and, like, it didn't have any impact, like, oh, whatever, just letting it go. But this is, like, for a trip to Korea, right? It's not some, you know, this isn't some small tournament. I really agree that, you know, like, it's just, like, clarifying the rules, and, you know, it's not like you lost them or, like, because the way I've kind of felt, because I've seen the vlogs from Reginald, is, like, you kind of went, like, he tries to make it seem like you went crying to them, when all you did was, you know, the fact that you, like, messaged Chaucer beforehand, and Chaucer's, like, a good friend of the show as well. I think, you know, that's commendable that at least you, like, went to them first before even, you know, emailing the WCG, so, I mean, I commend you, and I think, I really don't like, sort of the, you know, the beef that kind of rises
up. It's been ridiculous, and
it's really stupid.
Like, it's just, like, most of it is just propagated off of, like, false information, and since our team is so, like, We win tournaments and stuff, but we don't have, like, an outlet, really, to get to people, and we just decided, like, while the shitstorm was ensuing, just to, like, stay silent for a bit and let it calm down, because there was just, like, a lot of misinformation out there. But then, like, people like Reginald were just, like, just making it bigger for, like, no real reason. Like, I told him it wasn't true, and, like, I was like, why do you think I lied to the Adams? Like, there's no basis for that. And he kept making these vlogs, and just, like, I can't, even to this moment, I can't comprehend it. And he's being made out to be, like, a martyr to the community. Like, I would feel really bad in this situation. Like, I sympathize with their team, and, like, I don't feel that WCG's decision was right. But as a competitive player, I'm not gonna, like, just forfeit just because of, like, an inconsistency in the rules. And if it ended up benefiting our team, but that's not really our fault, and I don't think we should be held accountable. Like, if we didn't care about going, and if we didn't put a lot of time into this, like, yeah, we could have forfeited because of this, but when they're telling you, like, you have to play another set, because that's, like, our ruling, and that's, like, how we intend the tournament to be run. Are we, like, do you think that CDE would be like, oh, no, bro, Bay Life, we're not going to play. You guys go to Korea. Like, they're not going to do that. Nobody would. Like, no competitive team. And it's not, like, we shouldn't be made out, like, to be, like, these terrible people, which is just ridiculous, in my opinion.
Well, Vorboy, I've actually, you know, I've met you in person, and I've talked to you in person, and, you know, you're a very modest person, and you're a very down-to-earth player, and, you know, for being someone who was number one on the ladder, like, you know, you're active in the community, and you're, like, an actual, genuine, nice guy, so, you know, I mean, I know those things are kind of hard to take into account when there's, like, money and prestige and things like that involved and so forth, and, you know, I think as people, we all want to think the best of each other. We all want to think, well, if someone that was in a similar situation, that they would do the quote-unquote what is the right thing. But a lot of times, things do get turned around. I personally don't know enough about the situation to make, you know, any say either way. But from what I know about you, and from being that I have met you and so forth, I would definitely say if you were doing it on, if you say like just what you were doing, then I 100% believe that you were doing just that.
Yep.
Yeah, and you said as a competitive player, and what I was trying to make a point, as a professional player, like, you did the right thing, you know, and as a competitive player.
Yeah. And, one thing, go on.
No, go ahead, go. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, one thing that was just kind of disturbing for me is that, like, it was really funny to see how quickly the community, like, pounced on me. Like, just because of some things that Reginald said, like, up until this point, like, if anyone that watched my streams or, like, read my guides or anything, like, I've always tried to be positive. Like, I never raged. I never, like, yelled at people. I always tried to have, like, a good relationship with, like, every player. Like, I thought I had a good relationship with Reginald, but I don't know why he went off and did these things. And it's been kind of ridiculous to, like, load up the forums and see my name 10 times, Scumbag Boy Boy, over, like, I didn't even do anything wrong. From, like, most people's point of view, who actually know the facts, and I don't know, like, it's gonna be hard to, like, I see, like, people trying to boycott my live stream, which is pretty silly, I don't know. Like, it's been a lot of flack for nothing, and I think that's on some players' shoulders, but I'm not gonna hold them for that, and I'm just gonna try to get back in the favor of the community as best as I can.
Well, it's always hard to win in the court of public opinion, but all you can do is put the facts out there and tell your story.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, this is a situation that I feel is a little bump in the road for League of Legends as an esport. Like, it hurts esports to have, you know, things like a team think they win and then they lose, but honestly, what's worse is the outfall and what happened, but, you know, after your props to Dyrus, because he really stayed professional and said GG and everything, and he didn't say, you know, any hurtful things or, like, scumbag chat. I don't even know how that happened, by the way.
It is pretty silly.
We'll go into that in a second. But, you know, there's going to be a tournament coming up. People will get over it. Don't feel that any of this is your fault, because I work in a professional setting, and the other team just need to accept when someone makes a decision on something, because they're the ones that are running the tournament, not you.
Well, I think that's a good show. I think that's a good reason as any to end the show on that note. So, but Warby, thank you very much for coming on the show. We do definitely. I know it's kind of like out the blue. I just kind of hit you up like, hey, you're online. Want to talk? Awesome. Let's go.
It's all good.
But
it was fun being here. So. No problem.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you coming on the show. I kind of have to do, but once again, people, this has been another episode of 25MTS. Remember, if you would like to contact us on Facebook, follow us. Follow our Facebook group. It's 25MTS. You can follow us on Twitter at 25MTS. You can, I guess, if you already download the show, you already know how to find it there. But we are on iTunes as well. If you would like to email us, you can email us at minsto@gmail.com. And do you have any other ways to connect with us? No, that's pretty much. Friend us in game. Friend Team Sexcopter. Friend Not As Bad As You. Friend Root. Friend actually, you can't friend J Amazing. My friend list is full. But come to the 25.
I like his popular.
Yeah, a little bit. I like people. People like me. I'm a nice guy. come
that's
to the 25.
The way you say too.
Come to the 25 MTS chat room. If you're on League of Legends, go to 25 MTS. You know, if I am playing League, I am 100% in that chat room. And that's pretty much it. So remember, guys, the answer to all your questions in League of Legends is...
Carry harder. All right.